Hey guys, this is Ken Powers.
It's Clipper Jones.
And this is TK Okasenko, and you're watching the Three Count Podcast.
Do you want to get live with me? Do you really want to ride with me? I'm in the club, baby.
Welcome everybody to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast presents Now Entering, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And by now, after our, past our 350-something episode, this being season 4, and we in a new venue, I would just hope you say it with me, I am your Sherpa. Because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good Sherpa, it's never about me. It's about who's entering the ring. So who's entering the ring? Well, you can find these gentlemen at Kaiju. You can find them at Invictus, New, Tough and Talented, LPW, PAPW, Tetsu, Titan. They are big, they are bad, and they are here to start the business and their image. It is Genesis. Yo, what's up, y'all?
Is that copyright?
Oh, yeah, you can't say ye, right? That's the thing now. It's like it's a wrestler in West Virginia that owns a copyright.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently WWE like got the rights to it. Because they posted a video like today of like Jay coming out, and they said like he is back, so they must have like, yo, we'll pay you a lot of money, sir.
this is over saying, in our company, we could do it.
We're saying that right now, if we ever hear WWE say Genesis, we have to send them a cease and desist.
let me get on copywriting Genesis for wrestling terms.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, technically we don't own it yet, so we need to do that first.
I'm in a process. I won't lie. I'm in a process of owning the name Red Dog for like entertainment as well as like marketing purposes.
Merchandise.
But the problem is that I can only merchandise it through like t-shirts, stickers, and like some other things because Monster owns the right to liquid drinks. I was like, hey yo, fuck Monster, bro. They don't need that money. That's my name, bro. Like I've been running this since 2000, bro. I ain't got time for all this. Like get out of here with that craziness. They also coincidentally have, I don't know if you guys see the Monster Hydros, but they have a Red Dog flavor and then they have Blue Steel. And I was like, how did you guys get Zoolander's name too? That don't make no sense.
I've never seen the Red Dog Monster. I'll have to look for that one.
Yeah, go look for it. It's a Monster Hydro and then you'll find it. It says Red Dog, man. There's a violet color. I think like Purple Passion or some crazy shit like that. I don't remember. Sorry, Monster, if I didn't get it right. I don't care either. But because you took my name.
Well, hey, you can always reach out and have them be a sponsor of the show. You never know.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I would love to be drinking a Red Dog as Red Dog for a Monster while promoting their Red Dog. Yeah, it'd be great. It's like Red Dog, that's right. Yo.
We get this podcast done in like half the time with a Monster.
80% speed running podcasting.
Yo, how are you guys doing? Because the last time I saw all of y'all, we met at Kaiju, but we've all met separately at different events.
Well, at least we met at. Well, they were both at that Let Them Fight Invictus show. We're all there, so. I'm pretty sure that's where we all just met you.
Because I know I met you at Invictus. I felt like you were at another event too that we just crossed paths at.
And we like really linked up at Kaiju. That was the main like bread and butter right there. Yeah.
We all just kind of clicked and had fun having conversation. Mm-hmm. It was funny, man, because I went back and watched the match with Ken and I. And, I could hear a clip in the back laughing because, like, you didn't know I was concussed.
Well, I was right there with them, so you probably heard me too.
The crowd was at the time. I didn't know you were concussed.
My laugh was extremely obnoxious.
Like, I don't know what's going on. It's kind of funny, though. They're just fighting for the position. I'm just there.
You're barely existing. I didn't know, like, because while right before that happened was the big triple down.
Yeah.
And I can hear, like, I heard Bano, like, trying to, like, and the referee, like, trying to talk to you, like, hey, you okay? And nobody said anything. So I was like, all right, he's good to go. And then I get up and I'm just like, oh no, something's wrong.
You were trying to have him throw the X.
As soon as I get up, though, I heard the crowd, like, clapping, right? And that's where everything kind of picks up for me. I knew I got up and I was like, all right, I'm okay. I think I'm okay. And I wanted to tell you, like, hey, yo, like, I need help, right? And as soon as I touched your shoulder, you bumped, and I was like, well, this isn't gonna work.
Well, I was so in that mindset. I was like, all right, comeback time, let's go. And then I felt contact, and I was like,
yeah. And then I was like, I remember, like, you're like, yo, do something. I was like, bro, I'm loopy. I have no idea where we are. And then you're like, give me some shots. I was like, all right, let's go. All right, I know where we're at now.
Half concussed, red dog throwing shit.
Hey, it mostly was me. I grabbed him by the neck and he just had him start fucking smacking me in the gut. Like, red down.
Red down.
Red down, more like it.
Red down, for sure. It was wild, too, because, like, the next day, like, I went back to work and then, like, my boss was like, hey, something's wrong with you. I was like, yeah, I'm concussed. And they're like, what? yeah,
I was terrified when you told me, like, dude, I think I'm concussed.
But otherwise, the show went off without a hitch, and all you guys had great matches too. Match wasn't good. I'm just saying.
Except we lost. Ken's the only one that won. All of us lost that day. So
sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah. No, but it was cool. The I finally got the tag with Bosch again because where we were tagging, they just stopped using us. So, and we're kind of like pretty far apart as opposed to me, Clipper, and Ken. So it was cool tagging with them, but hopefully we can pick up a win next time. But yeah, it was fun tagging with him again. Bosch is a good dude. So.
That was the thing I noticed that when I showed up, because I was a little wary. I'm not going to front, right? Like, showing up, I knew Ashley, right? So, obviously, like, you know, shout outs to Ashley Stevie from Kaiju. Like, I knew her, so I was like, all right, I know I'm around some good people. I knew Daniel. I know you, Casey, right? Because, obviously, The Throne, like, they're pretty well known. And then slowly getting to, like, talk with everybody, I was like, oh, I see why everybody's here. Everybody just has, like, the same type of personality, just really open, really fun. I was like, I'm going to be right at home here. So I can't wait till the next Kaiju show because then I get to be around you guys again and just feel like a lot more talkative than I was prior to everything.
For sure.
Okay, usually going nervous, like shaking everybody's hand. I'm pretty sure I hugged everybody in that building.
I gave more hugs. Yeah. Mm.
I feel like that's like a thing, though, is that like normally, like, I try to reciprocate whatever the other person's trying to embrace. So if I go out to put my hand out and you put a fist out, believe me, I'm going to return with a fist. But if you change to a handshake, bro, we going to look stupid. Like, figure it out. Like, yo, man. Like,
I usually just slap that hand down. You know.
That's happened to me a few times. It's definitely awkward.
You got to palm it like a Spalding.
I think that's the funniest part because, like, normally I ask that question on the show is like, give me one deal and don't of the locker room, right? And everybody's like, oh, do shake everybody's hands. I was like, yeah, but what happens if they just, like, just kind of thing? And that happened to me at the Open, actually. I won't say what week, but he'll know exactly with a certain wrestler. I just walked up and I was like, hey, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in a while. And he's like, yeah. All right, we're going to do one of these things. I was like, all right, man.
Yikes.
But I'm kind of curious because I know you guys weren't a thing when we met at Let Them Fight. Were you guys? Or were you guys in the process of getting that stuff put together? Because I just remember randomly seeing Jason Andrews post up Genesis. And I was like, oh, this is a thing. All right.
Yeah, so when we saw you there, me and Ken had just started, like, tagging, but Alex already had like my own thing for Invictus that day. And so me and Ken didn't start tagging until March, it was April. But that's the same day we also formed Genesis. So yeah, and then so April, yeah, and then we had our first match together in June, all of us. So it's pretty new, Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally it was the beginning of this year, and that Let Them Fight was 2022.
Yep. Yeah. And the way they went about it too was kind of pandemonium, because security just randomly came out and we just kind of like looked at each other and started beating the security. So it kind of looked like we were all just like fed up and just started beating up anybody within the radius. So yeah, it kind of didn't correlate, but eventually we did cut a promo where we said, yeah, we're Genesis.
Yeah, because you guys were the OGs, right? You guys were the first ones like attached to Invictus.
Yeah, Clipper was in the very first match with Wrecking Ball, and I refereed that match. And then Ken was there helping. And so, yeah, we're all there at the first one.
I feel like we all ran into each other, too. It wasn't a Invictus show, but it was outdoors. It was in Jersey. I'm just trying to remember whereabouts in Jersey. Because Chaz and I had came up, and we hung out with everybody. Kennedy was there. Kenny Copeland was there. MCM was there. I think he had just won the ladder match for the brief.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is the original In Bloom.
Yeah.
This is the OG In Bloom with the
infamous. Yeah, so that was Invictus, too.
Ladder match.
COVID Invictus.
COVID Invictus.
Yes. Yes, it was. It was COVID Invictus. Yeah. TJ Crawford and Ken Broadway were the main event that night.
Mm-hmm. Well, they main evented. Leroy had his first title defense with the social media belt. He faced was it Miles or was it the other one? I think it was Miles. Miles Millennium.
Nah, Miles wasn't there.
It must have been. God, it's one of the goons, isn't it?
Was it Killian McMurphy? It was Killian.
Yeah, Killian. Yeah, yeah. Killian Dust.
Because Killian was talking about playing Sega.
Yeah, and then the ice cream truck had a Sonic ice pop. So they put that in.
Dude, it was so awkward reffing that, because like it wasn't a no DQ match. So like I was supposed to be counting them out, but they were just like, no, just come out with us, like, and just like tell us to go back in the ring. I'm like, all right, whatever. So it was a pretty crazy match. And then that's the same match that I Stone Cold Stunnered Dust. And I always remind him about it by posting it. And every time he sees me, he's like, dude, you're always posting that picture, bro. Like, it's an iconic picture.
For me, too, like, I was sitting at the tables just, like, off to the left of the entrance. So as soon as you came out the entrance, like, I was right there on the left. And I remember, like, the Even Stevens had turned on – well, not the Even Stevens together, but – they had turned on Phil Cardigan, mm-hmm. and Phil like was walking in the back, and I said, I looked at Phil, and this is how like I remind Phil of this every time I talk to him. I was like, he walked to the back, and as he's walking the back, I was like, yo, good match, man. And he was like, you weren't watching, and just kept walking on. So I let him know about this every single time. And when I brought it up to the Even Stevens a couple months ago, they're like, really? Phil said that? That doesn't sound like a Phil thing to say. I was like, trust me, I know exactly what it was, because I reminded him on the podcast and he was like, yeah, I remember saying that. Now he's like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, because it was Sweater Weather was the gimmick at the time.
Yeah.
With the special guest referee of the other Even Steven versus it was like Smiley and somebody. And
I ref that match.
I mean, to be fair, you reffed most Invictus matches for the first year.
I was like, I remember seeing you in like all of the matches.
A senior ref TKO Koseko.
That's right.
Junior senior referee TKO Koseko.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
As opposed to senior referee John Albano.
I literally remember you being a baby ref chant.
Baby.
Did I?
That did happen, yeah.
I don't remember that. I have a terrible memory. So.
So talk to me about, okay, so I want to hear individual stories about this, right? One, like, I want to know, like, who you are, but then two, like, I want to know, like, how you got into the business and, like, what made you want to keep driving in the business. Whoever wants to start, I'll just put it out that way.
I guess I'll start on this one.
Okay.
So my basic story is when I was about 4 years old, I was watching TV. I caught an episode of Heat, and the Hardy Boys were on it. I watched that, and then after the match, I turned to my dad, and I said, I'm going to do that when I'm older. And he laughed at me. I was like, ah. And, you know, then eventually I did one shorter go-around with training, about like 7 months when I was at New England Pro, back in like 2015-ish. Didn't really pan out. I was still in college at the time. So I stopped doing that. And then during the pandemic, I met up with a friend of mine that I met at New England Pro, Flip Gordon. And he kind of talked to me. He was like, hey, Bubba Ray has a school in Connecticut. Think about it. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I started training there. And that's where I met these guys.
Thanks.
The greatest thing ever happened to him.
So my anime My Hero Academia story right there.
100%. 100%. That's exactly how they roll.
Ignore the figurines.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Clip?
So when I was also about like 4 years old, I had two older cousins. And it's funny because one cousin watched WWF and the other one watched WCW. So they would always have different toys. One had Kevin Nash, the other one had Stone Cold. So I always had the best of both worlds. But I really didn't get into, like when I really, when I mean into wrestling, like that was like 2005 when TNA Impact was on Spike TV. Like the X Division, just seeing them fly around, Canadian Destroyer. I'm like, whoa, what is this? So then I got hooked. So I really started watching wrestling, and like every day I come home from school, and I didn't have cable, so I had to pirate some of this stuff. So I went with a buddy in back in 2016 to my first local wrestling event, and it was Northeast. It was NEW at a baseball stadium in New York, and they had Chris Jericho there selling his book that he just came out with. So that was my first show. So he was like, you want to come to the next show? I was like, why are you asking me? I'm coming to the next show. Next show had Christian Cage and Corey Graves there. And I don't know what put it in my head, but when they, you know, they ask normal questions like, hey kid, how you doing? You know, I'm like, how do I become a wrestler? And they said, how old are you, kid? I said, 22. I was like, oh, that's the perfect age. And I was like, I think Bubba has a school, Team 3D Academy just opened up in Danbury, Connecticut. So I email and I'm like, hello, Mr. Bubba Ray, sir. Can I tour your school? He's like, come on down next week and I'll check you out, kid. So I show up to the school. And first of all, I got lost because I've never been to Danbury, Connecticut before. So I ended up turning on the wrong side of the highway, but that was pretty fun. But eventually I started walking around and I saw Velvet Sky in the building. And I'm like double taking, like, because I've never seen like a celebrity in real life before. So I'm like, is she real? Okay. I go in and she goes, are you Jordan? And I'm like, and then I hear a deeper voice, Jordan. And I look like to my right, and I'm like, the old gym was like a long hallway. So down the long hallway, you see this large, like bear-like figure, like just standing, you just staring at me. And I look over, and it's Bubba, and he's like, get in here. And so, yeah, the rest was history.
Nice. What about you, TKO?
All right, I'll try and keep this a little short, but. So I got into wrestling when I was a little bit older than them. I was about like seven, and I went to daycare. I went to daycare, and all of my friends that were there, they all brought like these wrestling figures. I had no idea what it was, but eventually I started playing with the wrestling toys, and then they brought in like the PlayStation Portable game, SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, which still is probably my favorite wrestling game. But he showed me what hooked me. I don't know if you guys know, but big Spider-Man fan over here, okay? So they showed me Rey Mysterio, and he had like red gear that year, like in that game. So he was playing with him, and I was like, yo, this guy like moves around like Spider-Man. He looks like Spider-Man with his mask. So like I really gravitated towards him, and then one day I was like flipping on the channel and I saw him wrestling. So I was like, bro, this is amazing. So then I just became a fan from then. I think maybe it took me there was no specific moment that I saw like that was like, yo, I want to be a wrestler. But I think I just kind of just like over the years, I'm like, I think this is something I want to do. And then when I started like traveling more and meeting wrestlers and all this, I was like, yeah, I think this is something like I really want to do. So fast forward a little bit, I met Velvet and Bubba at like an autograph signing. And I told Bubba, I was like, I want to go to your school in Florida, because he didn't have the school at the time in Connecticut. So I told him when I graduate high school, I was going to move to Florida and go to his school. And he thought that was really cool. And then I met him a couple times after that. So like I kept putting into his brain that I was going to go to a school. Eventually he told me, oh, I have a school in Connecticut now. So, you know, you wouldn't have to go far if you wanted to train with me. I was like, oh, okay. So then when that happened, I was of age. I just messaged him and we made it happen. Clipper was there. Ken wasn't there yet. It was like a year or two before we met Ken. But yeah, actually, Clipper was my very first match, like ever. Very first match Clipper had to like determine if I could like start just doing more and more practice matches, because that's kind of how he does it. Like he'll have you like roll around in the ring. Then he'll have you, he'll have you chain wrestle first on the floor. Like you'll chain wrestle on the floor for like a couple of months. Then you get to start bumping. Like most people, they start bumping like first day. Like, no, like our school does it right, where you learn one by one. So I did those steps. Me and Cooper had our match. Then I started doing matches, and yeah, so.
Nice. It's funny because you mentioned like Rey Mysterio, and like I remember as a kid seeing Rey Mysterio at World War III in WCW dressed as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and the blue pants. So yeah, I can age myself out of this conversation pretty quick. just because I remember like the Monday Night Wars and just like watch, like flipping through the channel, like pushing the buttons up and down, like not even using a remote.
I saw it too. On the WWE Network, like
20 years. Like I was watching, Halloween Havoc 1997 live. Like I didn't have to watch on the network. I saw that, man. I saw that show live, and then I forgot about a bunch of stuff about that show, and then went back and watched it recently. I was like, bro, I'll never understand. Like, just for instance, right? They have the steel cage, right? The old steel cage, big blue, right? And Macho Man climbs up to the top of the cage, and he jumps off into the ring and does a double axe smash, right? I'm like, how did you never blow out your knees, bro? Because the way he landed, I'm like, I'll never understand. I was like,
he's that a guy big was, guy too, so like all that weight going down on him. All that weight.
I was like, cocaine does a lot for you. That's how he came up with it, I bet. I love Macho Man. He's like one of my favorites. So, all right. Well, seeing that y'all have been in at least 3 years and up, I'm curious to hear, like, everybody's got one of these kind of fun stories. And so do I, but I want to know each of you guys' worst bumps you guys have taken.
bomb by Taken.
I knew mine instantly.
Will I be able to guess it? Will I be able to guess it?
Yes, yes, you will.
Is it a rumble bump?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Dude, this guy is the worst. He'll explain right now, but dude, he just kills me so every time.
I don't care if it's a big venue or a small venue. I'm going flying out of that ring. So it didn't spark into my head until I was like mid-flight in the air by PJ Savage that hey, this crowd is kind of close. So I grabbed the top rope while I'm in the air, and my body, you know, swung back towards the apron, and like I hit the metal beam like with my tailbone, and crawled backstage. PJ comes running back. He's like, "You good, Clint? You good?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good." And I'm like sitting in a chair like this, like clinging life. that was my worst bump.
What's up, TKO?
I mean, a lot of people know how I wrestle. I'm very, you know, simple, straightforward. I don't really do a lot of crazy stuff. But I mean, if we're going to say worst bump, oh God, TK left.
Yeah, he said
he's alive.
He left the show.
But no, if I have to say one, it would be from May this year. I had the Titan title match that I had. I went up to the second rope for the leg drop, and I was like supposed to miss it and everything, but I didn't. I like perfectly landed not far enough forward to like just land fully legs, and not far enough back to kind of like cushion myself. So I kind of just took a second rope bump straight on my tailbone.
Oh.
And like at the time I was like adrenaline, I was like, yeah, I'm perfectly fine. And the car ride, I'm like, oh, there's a little something. And then the next, like, I was out for like 2 weeks. I couldn't do anything. Like, even getting up out of a chair was like excruciating.
Yeah, there was only like, so there was probably two like really shitty bumps that I've taken, like that I can think of at the top of my head. And one of them was when I fought Clipper. He gave me something. I flipped over. I landed.
The whatchamacallit.
Like, the whatchamacallit.
I hit you with the whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Pretty much he flipped me over, and I landed right on my tailbone, and it like, it didn't hurt at that, like the very moment, but like as soon as the adrenaline wore off, like I couldn't even walk. Like my whole back like seized up. And so like I was like bent over, and dude, we all fucking went to Dave and Buster's after, because this was after an LPW show. This is where actually me and Ken like debuted us as like even a duo thing. And so I took that shitty bump, and then we all go to Dave and Buster's, and we're all like trying to play games, and I'm like trying to like hold my back so I could stand up and like play the games.
Atheist Revolution. Got washed.
I blame it on my back. I would have totally kicked your ass. Totally, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, there was that, and then another one that comes to mind. I did a show at NEW, and I had a Russell Kerr, whoever doesn't know who Kerr is. He's like pretty much like a Braun Strowman like type fucking build. So just to put an image in your head, he's a big dude. And he had me and I think Steve off and like a double like body slam, but he didn't have us like lined up. So I went down first, and then Steve off came down and he landed right on my head. And dude, that like rang my bell. I was like, whoa, like it took me a minute to like kind of get back into it. But luckily that was like the end of the match. That was like the final thing that I received before I think Lucas Chase got beat. But yeah, that sucked. So those are two that come to mind, probably the worst so far.
It was funny how you said like that was the last thing you took, because like after Ken and I, when we had our match, everybody was like, so how did the match end? I was like, yo, the way it was supposed to. Ken threw me into a post and I just laid in the post. I didn't want to get out.
It worked out great though. All you had worked to out do great. Was it worked there. Out
incredibly. Yeah, just I didn't have to do anything. Just like just get shit posted and that's so, it. Just lay in a post.
I just want to know. I know you're interviewing us, but I just want to know like what you guys thought of that concept. Cause you guys had an interesting match. You didn't just pin each other. It was the first person to give a power slam. Never seen anything like that. And it was I don't even know what I would have done.
And not only that, it's first person to give a power slam in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we did a gimmick in the match where I pulled Bano out of the ring and I gave him the running power slam on the outside. And then I popped up like, I won. I did a running power slam. And they were like, no, it's got to be in the middle of the ring.
Dude, and Q was killing me, though, I have to add. He, like, most of the time, he was just standing there in the corner, just, like, watching. Like, he couldn't do anything, so he just stood there the whole time until the end of the match, and then he rang the bell. That was pretty funny.
I think if I look back at it, I wish that we would have hit, like, more power moves, because it's like we were all focused on just, like, hitting, like, a running power slam, and it could have been, like, we could have done some other stuff. We could have shown off, like, that we have more of a power game, because the funniest thing is, like, I low-key want people to have that conception that Red Dog is like, he's, even though like I'm not a small dude, like I was the smallest dude in that match, but then like he also has like some like crazy strength that goes with him. So like I wish I would have hit like maybe like a spine buster or something else that would just showed off that, hey, you know, Red Dog's got the strength game too. But no, it all worked out, because like I thought we told a fun story and then a lot of crowd got behind everything that we were doing, and they clearly loved the triple down up until the point where I just wasn't there anymore. But I think Ken got his character over, like this, you know, shitty powerhouse dude who's like, I'm just gonna shit on everything that everybody has to go with. And then Bio got his like he clearly got his gimmick over. Like everybody loved like seeing the dance along with him. And then, you know, I just came out with just me just being over the top crazy. So I think it all worked out, but I wish we would have like found some other power moves that we could have hit, and I think that would also made it look like, oh man, these guys are really just like going balls to the walls with it. But I'll tell you guys this, right? So one of my worst bumps I've taken, right? I want to share this with you guys because you guys will enjoy this. So I was like 2 months into training, and it was February, and I was training outside, and it was like. It was like 20 degrees and I was on the second rope. I was on the top rope. And I was like, hey, you know what great bump will be? I would love to hit Akira Tozawa's senton.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. On a ring that was just frozen. And the wood was frozen. The metal was frozen. The mats were frozen. And I jumped off and I lost all the air in my lungs. And then my trainer just looks me right in the face. He's like, so did we learn a lesson today? I was like, yeah, never again will I do that.
Yeah, my first bump that like I willingly took at a training school, it wasn't off the top, but our trainer, Randy Sean, shout out to him. You know, we have a little bit of a little beef going on, but he was my trainer. So when he told me to take my first like flat back bump, he told me to do like a dojo bump, which is like where you like jump up in the air and then go down, so it's not just like straight from standing. Like I jumped up in the air, but I jumped back instead of straight, so I just jumped back and then my neck fucking whiplashed and my neck was like stiff for like 4 days where I was just turning like this instead of my neck. Like I was just like like I felt like Kirk at Angle. I was like, yo, I have no neck anymore.
That's brutal. And see the funny thing was, like, for me, I remember when my first bump was I was working in the dark arts. You guys know what that means. And one of my friends, like, you know, he did the tabletop, so they got on all four and then they pushed me over. And I remember hitting the ground and I just remember like, oh, I I kind of liked that feeling a little bit of just bumping. I was like, I'm going to do this more often. And then I just started bumping like everywhere. Mm-hmm. Totally threw psychology out the window. I was like, oh, you're 5'3", 106 pounds? Yeah, whatever, man. Just give me a shoulder block. I'm just going to bump. And I was like, I got addicted to something I probably shouldn't have been doing. Just punching the bump card out immediately.
Yep.
Yo, so this would be a fun question to ask too. So I love this question. It is one of my favorites. So what's one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn being in a business so far?
That's a good
one. Yeah, it's my favorite because it's mostly like a thinker kind of question where you're like, damn.
Right.
And then usually you'll get one that like pops in your mind. You're like, oh shit, that's right.
I guess I'll start off with, I'll say that all four of us are pretty nice guys, you know, pretty nice guys. In this business, you can be a nice guy, but there will be times when you have to put your foot down to save yourself from getting walked over, you know? And it's some promotions are cool, you know, like Kaiju, we come in, you know, we hug each other, we just do what we gotta do. We eat food after, and there we go. But there's some other promotions where there's guys that have been around for a while that don't really know you. You don't really know them either because you never seen them on TV. But sometimes these guys will try to politic their way into making you look bad because they don't know you and they don't care about your character. So as long as they look good in the process, they will steamroll, they will kill your character to make them look better. For example, there was a promotion that I was in about 2 years ago where one of the guys was in the number one contendership for a match. So he's about to turn heel in the match, but he also wanted to beat me clean in the match because he wanted to get his move off. So we suggested, hey, why don't you, you know, do a cheap finish, you know, hit me with a low blow and then go for the pin. And he's like, but I think it makes more sense for me to hit my finish because it's more devastating. And I'm like, no, you just want to do it because it's your move and it makes you look good. And he says, well, it's what the promoter wants. And, you know, me being the younger wrestler, I could have just said, okay, you know, if it's what the promoter says. But I said, this doesn't sound right. Let's go get the promoter. And his face like froze. He was like, no, 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 you don't have to do that. You have to do that. And once I got the promoter's like, so which idea do you think sounds better? And I pitched him his idea and then my idea. He said, go with the other one. I was like, okay, now I know what I have to do.
It's a good lesson.
I think for me, which I still feel like I'm learning because it's kind of like, it's, how should I say it? Like, things are going to take time. So like our training, like it took time before we could start doing matches. Learning moves is going to take time because you're going to mess it up at first. So just like, the fact that not everything is going to happen for you like that, because everybody's journey is different. Like, there's guys that work on the indies for a couple years and they get signed. There's guys that work on the indies for 17, 18 years, like Kevin Owens and Adam Cole and guys like that, that, you know, traveled around the world to get to where they are now. And then there's guys now, especially now, that WWE will pick up just because they're athletes in college, you know, and then they have to kind of like teach them everything from the ground up. Yeah. So like everybody's journey is different. And, you know, so sometimes I got to remind myself that like, I'm not them. I'm doing my own journey to getting to where I want to be. Cause you know, not everybody's like this. Like, I want to make it in wrestling. I want to, that's what I want my job to be. There's some guys that just want to do it as a hobby, which is fine. But for me, I want to make it, but I know I'm not, I know for myself that I'm not at the level that I need to be yet. So that's something I'm just constantly trying to work on to get better. And eventually, you know, if I keep it going, I keep making connections, I have banger matches, you know, eventually somebody's going to see it and I'll be where I want to be. So it's just something I think constantly that I'm trying to remind myself as a lesson, like, yo, like, things are going to take time. You can't beat yourself up if somebody is getting an opportunity that you want that you don't have yet. So.
No, that makes sense. Makes sense a lot.
Yeah, honestly, those two points already are probably the two biggest lessons most people can learn, is some people are not here to work for the sake of a match. Some people are here to work for themselves, and everyone's got to go their own pace. I mean, I know I've talked to these guys a lot about it, but speaking as a guy who started later in his life as a wrestler than the majority of people nowadays, you know, a lot of kids are starting like, let's say like 18, but there's kids starting 16, 15, but even for the 18-year-olds, I didn't really get serious about my wrestling training until I was, what, 27? So, and I didn't have my first match until after I was 28, like 29 almost. So the fact that, like, to me, I'm always in my head of like, oh my God, I gotta hurry up. I gotta go. I'm 7 years behind all these guys. Like, they've had so much of a lead on me. But at the same time, you know, we all know the classic stories of like the DDPs and the Dave Batistas, like these guys who started a lot later in their life. And it's not about rushing.
I'm going to be right back, guys. Just keep talking.
Fair enough. It's not about rushing to get to the end just for the sake of getting there. Because if you rush to get to that point, you're never really going to enjoy the ride. Right. And I think that's kind of, at this point, this is my hardest lesson, is I need to be able to enjoy the ride myself. I've been really pushing myself. Honestly, like, I don't really talk about it a lot, but after my first like year in the business, my mental health was starting to drop, because I was like, I'm not where I need to be. Yeah, I'm 1 year in, but like, why am I not XYZ? Why am I not doing ABC? Why am I not in positions like other people are? But that's my own personal hardest lesson, is I need to know that I need to take my time, and I'm going to get there. But if I try to force it too soon, I'm going to waste the opportunity when it arrives.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because like you talked about, you know, being 28 and getting your first match. I started when I was 34 and I just turned 38, so I'll be turning 39 next year.
But you don't look a day over like 23. Come on, man.
it's funny though, because like I hear your point though, right? That you know, everybody's gonna be at a different pace. And I remember even for myself, right? I started in 2020 of January, right? And one thing that I was like, all right, let me go start training and wrestling, and we'll figure it out. We'll see what's going to happen, right? So as I start training, then the pandemic hits, and there's a whole shutdown. So I was like, maybe that's like the universe, like, tell me like I don't belong here. So May kicks up, and my facility opens back up, and I was like, well, bet, we're going to go outside and go train. So whatever, I'm going to go back and start training. And I felt like I took a step back. And even my trainer said it too. He's like, yeah, man, you've taken a step. And I was like, well, yeah, you know, maybe this just isn't for me. And I almost told myself again, like, I should quit, right? But then the guy had a practice match with Mad Max Morrison. Shout out. What's up, Max? He was like, I almost quit this business like 7 or 8 times, bro. He's like, you shouldn't quit. He's like, just keep figuring it out. You'll figure it out. Keep going. Keep working. He's like, you have potential. I was like, okay, cool. So I kept working, and then I get ready to debut. I had my first match with Big Trouble Ben Bishop. You guys know him. And he was my first match, and we did it for a company called C3W. And then I'm getting ready to go to SCWA to go debut, right? And I do a 3-quarter roll in a practice, tear my abdomen, and I'm out 8 weeks.
Oh.
So I was like, all right, maybe that's the sign that I'm supposed to stop, right? And I was like, but you know what? I can't do it. I was like, I got to keep trying to, I got to give this the old college try. So I kept trying to convince myself. And then I had my first debut match in 2020. And then my second match was actually with, my first match was with Ron Holiday in front of a live crowd. And then my second match was with Ron Holiday and Darius Carter. So I was like, maybe I'm on the right path. Maybe I'll keep doing this, keep working this thing. And what I learned through that, though, was patience, right? Top one. Like, you can't really compare your journey to somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. And perseverance, right? Even though I was former military and stuff like that, like, that's not something that a lot of people talk about. Was like, sometimes, man, like, you face adversities in your own way. And then it's how you relate to those adversities that show off, like, who you are and what you're going to do. And I think that's what opened me up was that everybody saw, like, oh, this kid, he got injured. He had a whole pandemic. And he thought about quitting all in 1 year. And he just kept telling himself, like, nah, bro, I'm going to keep trying to keep doing this, keep making it. Plus, I understood I was, like, way behind the game. So I think just like you, right, Ken, is that you have the ability to kind of spread knowledge on people who are, like, a lot younger than you getting into business. And just be like, yo, man, it's cool. Just enjoy what you got going on, because you never know what's going to happen that's going to dead stop all of this. So I'm going to ask one final question before we jump into my favorite segment. And this is a great question. So we're going to go this way. We're going to go Ken, Clip, and then TKO. This is what you guys are going to do. You're going to give me one do and one don't of the locker room.
Of the locker room. All right. I know people are going to say shake everybody's hand, but honestly, I think it's less shake everybody's hand, but at least acknowledge everybody in the locker room. Because some people are going to be busy. Some people are going to be talking. Like, I know some people are like, oh, no, if they're busy, stand there and wait until they're not busy and then shake their hand. No, if somebody's busy and they're doing shit and you got to go, fucking dap up everybody you can. Everybody else, like, look at them, be like, hey, what's going on? Keep going. Like, don't stress about you gotta fucking touch everybody in the locker room. It's not a big deal. For the love of God, don't leave the locker room looking like shit. There's so many people who fucking leave their water bottles, the wrist tape, fucking KT tape behind. Like, you are a professional. Act like it. Like, nobody else leaves. Like, you don't see a football locker room looking like that. You don't see a hockey locker room looking like that. Baseball, any sport, anything in a professional sense is taken care of and treated with respect. And if you can't respect your environment, what does that say about you?
I like that. I like that. What's up, Clip?
So, for me, my dudes in the locker room, I'm going to go with no matter, like, how many years you've been in the business, at least, even, well, obviously, if you're a vet, you get a chair. So, like, if you're in a smaller locker room and you in there to providing chairs, I'll obviously give the chairs to the vets first. But if you're one of the vets, like one of the older trained wrestlers, and you see somebody that's sitting on the floor, like, constantly stretching, you know, back pain, like, I say, hey, man, you know, you need my charity, you know, lace your boots and do that. Just be a neighbor for your fellow wrestler, regardless of how long they get. There's been guys I've been in the locker room with that are 18, and I gave them my chair because it's like, hey, it's like you're doing the same thing I'm doing. Like, if you need a chair for 2 minutes to lace your boots, for me, it's going to be 20 minutes to lace your boots. Like,
your boots are fucking four times the height of anyone else's
boot. Have my chair. Have my chair. And then, like, if there's a crowd and there's somebody, you see somebody standing up, I'll also give them my chair. It's like, hey, you paid to be here, and it's like, you deserve a chair. The don't, let's see. What could be a good don't? I had it on the top of my head, and then I went in a long tangent. It just let me see. What was it? It was something good too. It was really.
If you want to, we can come back to you, and then we get
together. Oh, definitely. I'll take it. Take it.
Okay.
Tag.
All right. So I do, I'd say, kind of, it kind of piggybacks off Clips a little bit. Just like, if like a fellow wrestler, like, you know, needs like wrist tape or like a knee pad or just help with their gear or something, like, you know, just be like courteous to your fellow guys and kind of just like help somebody out. Cause you know, you never know what kind of day they're having. Like, they might've forgot it or they don't have anymore. And so they just need, you know, just need something, you know, just, you know, help them out. Cause you know, you'd probably want the same in return if, you know, you needed something. You don't want somebody being an asshole. So, you know, just kind of help your brothers out type thing. And then don'ts, I would say, well, one, this is kind of like a two part, like, one, if you're not on the show at all, like, don't be backstage, especially at some of these independent shows. Like, our locker room isn't big as is. So like, people that would like lurk around or just kind of just be in the way, like, just don't be in the way at least. But yeah, like, if you're not on the show, you try and not just be there. And if you do, if you are on the show, kind of like not take forever to get ready, and or at least just be out of the way if you are. Because sometimes I'll be trying to, you know, get somewhere, and some guy's just fucking sitting there, like, half his stuff's on. He's just like sitting there in front of my shit, and I'm like, like, are you about to finish? Like, I kind of need to like get by. Like, no, I'll come back. And then they're still not, you know, so shit like that gets on my nerves. Not pointing at anybody out in particular, because a lot of people do it. But yeah, just kind of be out of the way. And if you're not on the show, just, you shouldn't even be back there, even if you are a wrestler. So yeah, those are my do's and don'ts. Did you think of one, Clipper, or should I keep saying?
It came back to me while you're going off of it, because it kind of, piggyback off me, I'm going to piggyback off of you. Like,
that's right.
Being aware of your surroundings. If you have like a multi-man match and you're in a small locker room, just be aware, like, having some sense of awareness of who's around you, because some of these locker rooms are extremely small. And if you're trying to call like a six-man elimination match and there's a woman or somebody or anybody that has gear like next to you, like, you might want to move over to the side and be like, hey, there's more space over here, let's call the match over here, so that people have more space to change. Like, I had an issue with that at the last show I was at, where it was this tight, it was like this new tight hallway, and there was like three multi-man matches, and all you hear is, everybody's around each other, and there's a wrestler like, hey, you know, there's more space back here. Like, he's trying to get, like, give it the hit. Like, there's too many people in this hallway. He's like, oh, that, yeah, just having a little sense of awareness when you're calling your matches. That's what it, I was getting at.
No, those are all, like, those are all great lessons. And then I think about it too, where it's like, I think about how many times I've heard multiple people try to call, you know, a couple tag matches, and they're legitimately like in a 3-foot spot trying to call, like, for, you know, an 18 by 18. You're kind of like, yeah, you guys aren't making this work out very well. So move somewhere else. All right. So we're going to go on to the next part. It's my favorite part of the 3-Count podcast. It is the 3-Count podcast, 10-Count questions. And here's how it works. I'm going to ask each one of you gentlemen a question. I expect the answer from each and every one of you. It's going to be 10 questions. You know, 10 count questions. 10 questions makes sense. Yeah. So, y'all down?
Is it like quick fire?
Yeah, buddy.
Type questions? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dummies.
Yeah.
So, we're going to put on imagining timer for add pressure. Bing! And in the words of my favorite commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
Raw.
Get all y'all. Get your answer.
Yeah, you guys got an answer too.
What for that mean?
I was gonna say UFC.
It kind of works now. It kind of works now. They're all together.
And here we go.
Yeah, what's your answer?
Raw.
Bet. All right. Favorite movie.
Fuck. Pass.
Half Past Dead with Ja Rule and Steven Seagal.
To the shock of no one, the very first Spider-Man movie that came out in 2002, Tobey Maguire, it's my favorite movie.
All right, fuck it. Random fucking obscure one. Hateful Eight. It's the mafia style movie. Who done it with Samuel L. Jackson. That shit was great.
Yeah, I like that too. PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
PlayStation.
Well, the real answer is Nintendo, but.
Sega.
Got my Switch right here. Nice. Shout out to Leroy.
And TK, what's your answer?
Oh, I said PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I figured it was going to be PlayStation anyway because that's exclusive to Spider-Man.
That's right. You don't know. Yeah. Even if I was an Xbox guy, when that game came out, I would have got a PS4 and
just then a PS5. I have a PS4 and I just played a Spider-Man game on there. I'm not gonna front. Okay, I can't even hide it. Let's go. Favorite cartoon.
Ed and Eddie.
Ed and Eddie.
I'd probably say Family Guy.
I'm a massive.
Hey, I watch it when I was like six. So
Ed and Eddie.
Yesterday.
Apple or Android?
Android.
Ooh, iPhone. These fucking green texting motherfuckers. I have to text them on WhatsApp because it's so shitty.
I'm sorry that you have to use our technology to make a shittier phone.
Sorry, I'm going to get on with VPN and then and talk
to you. With that search for sponsorship.
Yeah. I got to hit them up too. Let them know. We're looking for sponsorships. All right. Favorite actor or actress?
Fucking... Somebody else go.
Denzel Washington.
I can't think of one, so I'm just gonna say Andrew Garfield.
Fuck it. Will Ferrell.
I like it. I totally thought you were gonna say Tobey Maguire, TKO.
Well, so he's my favorite Spider-Man, but as far as actors of the three, I've liked a lot of Andrew's like outside movies too compared to the others.
Yeah.
So, but Toby's definitely my favorite Spider-Man for sure.
I would have been like, what? You didn't like Brothers? Like that movie was great with him and Jake Gyllenhaal where he was just like,
it wasn't
supposed to be there for me.
It was very good. I first watched that like 2-3 years ago. So it wasn't even when it first came out, but I would always see that clip online of like Toby destroying the fucking kitchen. And I always wondered what movie that was from. And finally I like looked it up one day and I watched it and it was really good. But yeah, it is a good movie.
Clearly TKO is just a big fan of The Social Network.
So this is going to be an obvious question for one of you guys, but Marvel or DC?
I'm going Marvel. Right.
Yeah, DC.
Then
go fuck yourself. but I will say I got all my DC pops right there on the side.
We're gonna have to title this "The Downfall of Genesis" because we can't get along on any of this shit.
Fucking androids, DC.
I mean, at least no one said it. I mean, y'all didn't say Xbox. You know what I mean? So I guess like
that's true. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
We got one. We got one.
You got one.
We got one.
Favorite. Let's go with a favorite podcast.
Unfiltered with Zane and Heath. They're like YouTubers.
Yeah.
That was my number one on Spotify, so I would have to say that. So.
Obviously, it's the three count pot. No, you're getting close, but personally, I'm gonna sound like such a fucking dweeb for this. I regularly listen to the Wrestle Talk podcast. It is a group of British YouTubers who focus on wrestling news and media. So, I love those guys.
I'm big into the Kind of Funny Games podcast because I drive a lot and I play a lot of games, so. It's good to know, like, get a review of what games are coming out, and I feel like they're the best guys to get a synopsis on the games that are coming out on a daily basis.
Nice. Next question is going to be, nominate one person that you want to see on this podcast.
Jason Andrews.
Jason Andrews.
He has been on this show. We have
Damn it!
Jason Andrews. Jason Andrews again.
Jason Andrews, but part of Genesis.
Abs.
Abs, yes. No, actually, we've had abs. We've had abs on the show. Yeah. I forgot. I forgot when I grabbed him one time. Yeah. He's been on the podcast before. I got to bring him back, though.
Samira.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There you go.
Have you done PJ Savage?
I have done PJ Savage.
God damn it.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Worldwide right there.
Mr. 305.
I don't know if you've had her, but Zeta Steele, she's pretty new, but I listened to a podcast with her and my friend, the Wrestling Classic, and it was pretty short, but she was like pretty entertaining on it. So I don't know if she'd be in character or not, but I feel like she'd be someone fun to get on if you haven't had her.
So you guys don't know this yet, but yeah, she has actually been on the show. Her episode will be out. Let's see, as we're talking about this live, it would have been like two episodes ago.
Oh, okay. Well, shout out to her. Have you had Emily J on?
No, you know what's so funny is I remember having a conversation with her and talking about bringing her on the show and forgetting to reach out. So yeah, I definitely
I'll ask her if you want. We talk all the time, so.
Bet. Ken's still thinking. That's fine. You don't have
to. Because every answer I've given you, you've already done.
Yeah, it's low key. Okay, so to be transparent.
Get Alex on. Alex Aceta. Get him on.
Invictus owner.
We've had him on numerous.
I know. That's why
Really?
Full transparency. You guys are like episode, like, I think it's like 350. You guys will tell me in the comments because I'll probably get it wrong. 354, 355, something like that. Yeah, we've had a good number of people on the show. Everybody from like MCM, like from Invictus, like everybody from MCM to Diego Trabajador, like everybody is like, I brought everybody. Damn,
you got Diego on here. That's how you know you got everybody.
So like top to bottom.
I got one. Have you ever had Ichiban on here?
It would be great to have Ichiban, and I wonder if Ichiban would say more than four words.
No.
No.
You'd have to invite Ichiban and his translator. You can't just invite GM.
Yep, GM.
Yep.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, I think that's my answer. Ichiban and GM Alex Rojas. Put them together.
Definitely. And then last but not least, my favorite question to ask every single person who comes on this podcast, favorite curse word?
Fucker.
Use a curse word, and I was like, my favorite thing to call people is troglodyte, but it's not a curse. It's not... It's my favorite thing to just be like, you fucking troglodyte. Like,
mine's is definitely caught waffle.
I like it.
Measurement of distance, Conter.
Bet. Well, those are all my questions I do have to ask you guys and stuff like that. But the one thing I do need is for you guys to let our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you. Sorry, top to bottom. Ken,
top to bottom. All right.
Yeah.
So you can find me, Facebook, Twitter. I refuse to call it the other thing. Instagram, And also on Twitch over at the Ken Powers. Twitch is the _ Ken Powers, because for some goddamn reason they won't let me have my username. You can find me on all those platforms, and I think I'm on YouTube as Ken Powers. I just kind of put my matches on there. That's it for me.
Okay, you're just gonna have me go. All right.
This well, is in rating order, top to bottom, left to right.
Okay.
Yeah. You can find me at Clipper, not Chipper. Clipper. That's Clipper, not Chipper. That Chipper Jones is a baseball player. I get that a lot. They're like, oh, you got a home run today. I'm like, oh, you're funny. Okay. I'm like, no, it's Clipper Jones on Facebook, Clipper Jones 365 on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to buy some merch, you can go to, I made it easy for you because it's the same as my Instagram, clipperjones365.com.
Cool, cool. And then, of course, you can follow the next big hit, TK Oksenko, on Twitter, not the other one, Instagram, YouTube, and I think everything is TK Oksenko. Like, I make it easy. So you can follow me on there.
TikTok.
Yep, that's right. TikTok. That was the other thing.
TikTok.
But yeah, follow me on everything. Follow me on everything at TK Oksenko. But more importantly, subscribe to my YouTube channel because I'm almost at 9K subscribers.
Damn.
So I always post vlogs. With these guys and whenever I'm traveling. So yeah, check that out and subscribe if you can. That'd be great.
Well, there you have it. They told you where you can find them. They told you about their merch. They even told you like how you can find them, whether it's on Twitter or on X. Right. So anyway, like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home because this is the Three Count Podcast presents Now Into Ring, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And as your Sherpa, you know, it's never about me. It's about who's entering the ring. So who's entering? You see him right here. TKO Canseco. You have, we'll do it this way, Clipper Jones. And then right next to me, that's right, Ken Powers. And you guys know what to do. Tune into the next episode and be there, or you're legitimately just waiting for this episode to end. You're waiting for that outro. You're waiting to, you know, choose another episode to listen to. Or you really follow us on all of our social media platforms. You subscribe to our YouTube channel. You follow us on Spotify. You listen on Amazon. You're even checking us out on iHeartRadio or whatever their stupid jingle thing goes, right? You're buying our merch. You're telling your mom about us. You're telling your dad about us. You're telling your sister about us. You're telling your brothers about us. You're telling all your extended family. You're telling your dog. And you're telling your enemies because we love haters too. You're doing all that stuff, or you're really just waiting, like I said, for this episode to end. You're waiting for that outro, and then you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii.
What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is to kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast, or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, between time, love y'all.